This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback after a project debrief in a way that improves the next one. Turn every debrief into a feedback session that actually changes behaviour. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give feedback after a project debrief in a way that leads to real improvement on the next project. Prepare your feedback before the conversation, not during it. Ground every observation in a specific moment from the project. Close with one clear, agreed action for next time. Definition: give feedback debrief is the practice of delivering structured, specific observations to individuals or teams immediately following a project review session with the purpose of improving performance, communication, and decision-making on future work. The debrief meeting ends. Everyone nods. Someone writes a few notes on a whiteboard. Then the team disperses, the project files are archived, and 6 months later the same problems surface on the next project. Sound familiar? Here is what I have watched happen too many times. The debrief happens. People talk, but the feedback that could actually change behavior never gets delivered. It stays in someone's head, or it comes out weeks later when the context is cold, and the message lands as criticism rather than guidance. The real problem is not that people do not care. It is that most of us have no clear process for giving feedback after a debrief. We know something needs to be said, but we do not know how to say it in a way that lands well and sticks. So we either say nothing, or we say too much at the wrong moment. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for how to give feedback after a project debrief in a way that genuinely improves the next one. Use it immediately. Why giving feedback after a debrief is harder than it looks. You know the feedback matters. You have been in enough debriefs to see the same patterns repeat. And yet, sitting down to deliver it well is a different skill entirely. The gap between knowing feedback is important and actually giving it well is wider than most people expect. Here is why. The moment has passed. By the time the debrief ends, people are already mentally moving on. Delivering feedback into that momentum feels like swimming against the current, and many people simply do not bother. Fear of damaging the relationship. Even experienced professionals hold back because they worry that honest feedback will be taken personally. That fear does not disappear with seniority. It just gets quieter. No structure to lean on. Without a clear framework, feedback tends to come out vague or overwhelming. We need to communicate better helps no one. People do not know what to change or how. The debrief itself is exhausting. After a long session dissecting a project, people are drained. Adding a formal feedback conversation on top of that feels like piling on, so it gets postponed until it disappears entirely. Mixing up observation and judgment. Most people slip from describing what happened to evaluating the person. That shift, even when unintentional, puts people on the defensive immediately. Uncertainty about what to prioritize. A finished project generates dozens of lessons. Knowing which feedback to give and which to leave out requires judgment that most people have not been taught. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your purpose is improvement, not assessment. Walk into the feedback conversation knowing that your job is to help the other person do better next time, not to score their performance on the last project. That shift in intention changes your tone, your word choices, and how the conversation feels to the person receiving it. If your mindset is evaluative, your feedback will feel like a verdict. Number two, your examples must be specific and recent. Vague feedback teaches nothing. Before any conversation, identify at least two concrete moments from the project: what happened, when it happened, and what the impact was. If you cannot point to a specific situation, you're not ready to give the feedback yet. Specificity is what separates useful feedback from noise. Number three, the person must feel safe enough to respond. Feedback is not a monologue. It is a conversation. Before you deliver anything, make sure the other person knows they will have room to speak. If people feel they are about to be lectured, they stop listening. If they feel they are about to have a real exchange, they lean in. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Review the project before you review the person. This step is the most skipped, and skipping it is exactly why so much debrief feedback lands badly. Before any feedback conversation, you need to sit with the project data. That means reviewing what was planned versus what happened, where the work stalled, where it moved well, and what the final outcome actually looked like. You're building an evidence base, not rehearsing a complaint. Do not rely on your memory alone. Memory is selective and coloured by how the project felt at its worst moments. Go back to the original brief, the timeline, the communications, the delivery notes. Find the moments that matter most and write them down clearly before you say a word to anyone. Review the original project brief and compare it to the actual outcome. List 3 to 5 specific moments from the project that had a clear impact, positive or negative, on the result. For each moment, write one sentence describing what happened and one sentence describing its effect. Identify which observations are worth raising and which are too minor to matter. Write your two most important feedback points before you open the conversation. For example, a project manager noticed that a key client presentation was delayed by 2 days because the design team had not received the brief until the morning it was due. Rather than saying communication broke down, she noted the specific kind of gap, the date it happened, and the knock-on delay it caused. That is the kind of preparation that turns a vague observation into a useful conversation. When you arrive at the feedback conversation with specific, written observations, you're already more prepared than most people ever are. That preparation shows. It tells the other person that you took this seriously. Step 2. Choose the right setting and timing. The quality of your feedback depends as much on when and where you deliver it as on what you say. Feedback given in a group setting, or while someone is already overwhelmed with the next project, really lands. The person you're speaking with needs enough space to actually hear you. That means a private conversation, ideally within 4 to 8 hours of the debrief while the project details are still vivid for both of you. Timing matters because context fades fast. The longer you wait, the more abstract your feedback becomes, and the less the other person can connect your observations to what they actually experienced. Early feedback feels relevant. Late feedback feels like a grudge. Schedule a dedicated one-to-one conversation rather than adding it to an existing meeting. Choose a time when neither of you is under immediate deadline pressure. Give the other person advance notice. I want to spend 20 minutes going over a few things from the project while it is still fresh. Pick a neutral, private space where the conversation can unfold without interruption. Keep the session to a clear time boundary. 20 to 30 minutes for most conversations. When people know a feedback conversation is coming and roughly what to expect, the defense is lower. Surprise feedback, even well-intentioned, often triggers a reaction before the first sentence is finished. Set the stage properly, and the message has a much better chance of getting through. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Open with what worked before you address what did not. This step is not about softening the blow. It is about accuracy. Every project, no matter how difficult, contains moments where people performed well. Starting by naming those moments is not flattery. It is honest assessment. It also tells the other person that you're paying full attention to the whole picture, not just the problems. That credibility makes everything that follows easier to hear. The opening needs to be specific. You did a good job is not an observation. The way you manage the stakeholder escalation in week 3 kept the project on track is. Specific recognition lands differently. It shows you were watching, and it gives the other person something real to build on. Open the conversation by naming one or two specific things the person did well during the project. Connect each positive observation to its actual impact on the outcome or the team. Keep this part brief, 2 to 3 sentences per positive point. Do not brush past it. Give the person a moment to actually take it in. Avoid vague praise like great work or you were really helpful. Name the behavior. Name the impact. For example, I want to start with something I thought you handled really well. When the brief changed in week 2 and the whole timeline had to shift, you organized the workload without a single drop task. That kept us from losing 3 days we could not afford to lose. After that kind of opening, the person is genuinely listening. They know you're being honest, not building up to an attack. That is the ground you want to stand on before you deliver the harder observations. If you want to understand how this kind of approach contributes to broader team cohesion, read more about how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. Step 4. Deliver the developmental feedback with precision. This is the core of the conversation, and it is where most people either go too vague or go too hard. Developmental feedback, the kind that asks someone to do something differently next time, needs three things to work: a specific situation, the impact of what happened, and a clear suggestion for what to do differently. Without all three, you're giving the person a problem without a path forward. The SBI method, situation, behavior, impact, gives you a clean framework for this. You name the specific situation, describe the observable behavior, and explain the impact it had. You can read a full breakdown of how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides. Once you've named the situation and its impact, follow it immediately with a forward-facing suggestion. Use the format. In specific situation, I observed specific behavior and the impact of specific outcome. Limit yourself to one or two key feedback points per conversation. More than that overwhelms. Follow every observation with, next time, what I would suggest is, deliver the feedback in a steady, even tone. Urgency in your voice reads as anger. Pause after you have said it. Give the person room to respond before you continue. Here is a brief example of this step in practice. You might say, in the final week, when the client asked for changes to the report, the updated version went out without being reviewed by the rest of the team. The client received inconsistent data in two sections, and we had to send a correction. Next time, I would suggest we agree on a two-person sign-off rule for anything going out in the final 48 hours. That is precise. That is actionable. And you respect the person enough to give them something to work with, not just something to feel bad about. Step 5. Invite a response and listen to it. You have delivered your observations. Now the single most important thing you can do is stop talking. Most feedback conversations fail here. The person giving feedback treats the delivery as the end of the job. But feedback that does not invite a response is not a conversation. It is a lecture. And people do not change their behavior based on lectures. They change it based on genuine exchanges, where their perspective is actually heard. Ask a direct, open question. Let the other person respond fully before you say anything else. You may discover context you did not have. You may hear a perspective that refines your understanding. Or you may simply give the person the dignity of being heard, which is often enough to make the feedback land well. After delivering your feedback, ask, how does that land with you? What is your read on it? Listen fully before responding. Do not plan your next sentence while they are still talking. Acknowledge what they say. That makes sense. I had not thought about it from that angle. If you disagree with their response, say so honestly and specifically, without dismissing them. Look for the point of agreement. What does you both see the same way, even if you see other things differently? Here is how this can sound after delivering the observation about the sign-off gap. The other person says, we actually did try to get a second review, but their inbox was not monitored that day. You respond, that is useful to know. Then the issue is not just the sign-off rule. It is also the shared inbox process. Let us make sure both of those get fixed. That is what a real conversation produces. The solution becomes better because you listened. For a broader view of how communication structure affects this kind of exchange, the article on the role of communication in meeting success covers the underlying principles well. Step 6. Agree on one concrete action for next time. A feedback conversation without a committed next action is just a talk. The goal is behavior change on the next project, and that requires one specific, agreed commitment before the conversation ends. Do not leave the conversation open-ended. We will work on communication is not an action. Before any client-facing document goes out, it gets reviewed by two people, and the review is logged in the project folder is an action. Specific, named, owned. The action does not need to be large. One clear change, genuinely committed to, is worth more than five vague intentions. Write it down in front of the other person. That physical act of recording makes it real in a way that verbal agreement alone does not. Ask, what is one thing you would do differently based on what we have discussed? If the other person struggles to name something, offer a specific suggestion and ask if it fits. Write the agreed action down, the what, the who, and when it will first apply. Send a brief written summary of the conversation and the agreed action within 24 hours. Review the action at the start of the next project, not at the end of it. For practical guidance on how to structure the written follow-through, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability will give you a clear framework. Agreement without follow-up fades. The written record is what turns a good conversation into a lasting change. Step 7. Close the conversation with respect and forward momentum. The last 2 minutes of a feedback conversation determine how the other person walks away feeling. That feeling shapes whether they act on what was said. Close with warmth and clarity. Restate the one agreed action. Name something genuine you respect about the person's contribution. Let them leave the room feeling that the conversation was worth having, and that you are both looking forward rather than backward. This is not about managing emotions or being diplomatic for its own sake. It is about leaving the relationship in better shape than you found it. Feedback that damages trust does not improve teams. Feedback delivered with respect, even when it is direct, builds the kind of connection that makes future conversations easier. Restate the agreed action in one sentence. So we are agreed that next time. Close with a genuine, specific acknowledgement. I want you to know I value what you brought to this project. Keep the tone consistent from the close as from the rest of the conversation. Do not suddenly become overwarm in a way that feels false. Invite one final question from them before you end. Is there anything else you want to raise before we close? End on time. Respect for the agreed time limit is itself a message of respect. The way a feedback conversation ends is what people remember. Make sure what they remember is that you were honest, fair, and on their side. Adapting this process for remote teams. Remote teams face a specific challenge when it comes to debrief feedback. The natural, informal moments where feedback happens in person simply do not exist online. In a shared office, a brief corridor conversation after a debrief can carry enormous weight. On a remote team, that same conversation has to be deliberately scheduled, or it will not happen at all. The distance also strips out body language and tone, which means feedback can read harsher in text than it was ever intended. Schedule video, not messages. Written feedback, however carefully worded, loses nuance without tone of voice and facial expression. For developmental feedback after a debrief, a video call is not optional. It is the minimum standard. A Slack message is not a feedback conversation. Use shared documents as anchors. Before the call, share a brief written note with your 2 or 3 key observations. This gives the other person time to prepare a response and reduces the chance that the conversation catches them off guard. It also means both of you are looking at the same information. Allow more time for the response. On a remote call, silences feel longer and more uncomfortable than they do in person. Build in a deliberate pause after you deliver each observation. Say directly, "Take a moment with that." Without that permission, the other person may rush to respond before they have had time to actually think. Send the written summary the same day. Without the physical cues of a shared space, agreed actions can fade quickly in a remote environment. Your written follow-up is even more important here than in a face-to-face setting. If you want additional tools for managing conflict that can arise in these conversations, the guidance on how to handle conflict during meetings translates well to remote contexts. The core process holds for remote teams. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid when giving feedback after a debrief. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: giving feedback that is too general to act on, such as "we need to communicate better." Why it happens: people want to avoid conflict, so they soften the message until it says nothing. What to do instead? Name the specific moment, the specific behavior, and the specific impact. Vague feedback protects no one and improves nothing. The mistake: waiting too long after the debrief to deliver the feedback. Why it happens: people tell themselves they will find a better moment, and that moment never comes. What to do instead? Commit to delivering feedback within 48 hours of the debrief session, while the project is still fresh for both people. The mistake: delivering feedback in a group setting when it should be private. Why it happens: it feels efficient to address everyone at once, and sometimes it is easier than a one-to-one conversation. What to do instead? Keep developmental feedback private. Public feedback, even when carefully worded, triggers defensiveness and shame that kills genuine learning. The mistake: piling on multiple feedback points in one conversation. Why it happens: after a long project, there is a lot to say. People try to say all of it at once. What to do instead? Limit yourself to 1 or 2 key observations per conversation. More than that overwhelms the person and dilutes the impact of every point. The mistake: skipping the agreed action at the end of the conversation. Why it happens: the conversation feels complete once the feedback has been delivered, and the action step gets forgotten. What to do instead? Never close a feedback conversation without a specific, written action that both people have agreed to. The conversation is only half the work. These are not character flaws. They're gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have reviewed the project brief, timeline, and key communications before the conversation. I have identified at least two specific moments from the project to anchor my feedback. I have written my two most important feedback points before the conversation starts. I have scheduled a private, one-to-one conversation with adequate time set aside. I have given the other person advance notice of the conversation and its rough purpose. I am prepared to open with one or two specific, genuine observations about what worked. I have a clear suggestion for improvement ready for each developmental point I plan to raise. I have a direct, open question prepared to invite the other person's response. I will write down the agreed action in front of the other person before closing. I will send a written summary of the key points and agreed action within 24 hours. I have reviewed the guidance on how leaders can model effective feedback behavior to strengthen my own approach. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a clear, repeatable process for giving feedback after a project debrief. Not a vague idea of what good feedback looks like. A specific sequence you can use on your next project. Prepare your observations before the conversation, using real project data and specific moments. Time the conversation well within 48 hours, in private, with adequate space for both people. Open with what worked, naming it specifically before you address what needs to change. Deliver developmental feedback with situation, behavior, and impact, then follow with a clear suggestion. Invite a genuine response and listen to it fully before you say anything else. Close with one agreed, written action that both of you will remember when the next project begins. Treat the follow-up as part of the feedback, not an afterthought. For teams wanting to build this into a broader improvement approach, how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan is a strong next step. And if you want to understand how to give feedback debrief conversations in a way that serves the whole team rather than just individuals, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it will extend what you have learned here. The work you do after a project ends is what determines the quality of the one that follows. Do it with care, do it with courage, and do it soon. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to give feedback after a project debrief? To give feedback after a project debrief means to offer specific, structured observations about what worked and what did not, directly following a post-project review. The goal is to help individuals and teams improve their performance on the next project, not simply to evaluate the last one. How do you give feedback debrief comments that people actually use? Make your feedback specific to observable behavior, not general impressions. Link each point to a real moment from the project, explain its impact on the outcome, and suggest one concrete change. People act on feedback when they can see exactly what to do differently next time. When is the best time to give feedback after a debrief? The best time is within 48 hours of the debrief session, while the project details are still fresh. Waiting too long makes feedback feel disconnected from the actual work. Immediate feedback, grounded in specific examples, has far more impact on future behavior than delayed, general observations. What should you avoid when giving feedback in a project debrief? Avoid vague language, personal judgments, and feedback that has no path forward. Do not pile on multiple criticisms at once. Focus on one or two key behaviors per person, connect them to the project outcome, and always pair an observation with a clear suggestion for improvement. How do you give feedback debrief conversations that do not damage team trust? Keep feedback grounded in specific situations and their impact, not in personality or character. Invite the other person to respond before you close the conversation. People trust feedback when it feels honest and fair, not when it feels like a verdict handed down without their voice in the room. Can give feedback debrief sessions work for remote teams? Yes, but they require more deliberate structure. Schedule a dedicated video call rather than relying on written messages alone. Use shared documents to anchor the conversation in specific project moments. The core feedback process is the same. The delivery needs to account for the absence of physical presence and body language. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use. whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.